Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All right, I'm back here on the Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler. You know, it's a shame. A lot of investors approach investing as kind of a game. And that's what Warren Buffett's basically saying is in his newsletter. He talks a lot about how, you know, the gamification of trading. It's leading to people that are increasing their speculation in the stock market. And, you know, you got an era of connectivity. I mean, it's like literally it's so easy. Now, there was Adam Smith, A Wealth of Nations. The Wealth of Nations was a book that was written about, hey, how do we set up an economy to really make an economy grow? You know, what can we do? And he was big on this idea of market efficiency or the invisible hand. You know, let people set the proper prices for things. And, you know, he said that there were two things that were needed to make markets even more efficient: ease of information, ease of transaction. So you're an investor, you're going out there and going, I'm thinking about putting my money someplace. Or I'm thinking about taking money out of something. Remember that, especially when you're talking about publicly traded markets. Now, if we get into private markets, that gets really weird, and I'm not going to get into that right now. You know, privately traded securities, but, you know, publicly, you know, if you're looking at a mutual fund or you're looking at an ETF or something like that, typically that's what you're dealing with, is that. And, you know, when we think about buying it, the wonder of it is that I can buy something, buy a stock or buy an ETF or buy a mutual fund when, you know, that holds different stocks inside of it, because a mutual fund might be a collection of stocks, might be bonds too, but, you know, we're talking about stock funds here, let's say. And those stocks are traded all the time. In other words, buyers and sellers come together to determine what's a fair price for XYZ company. And, you know, the beauty of it is I don't have to worry about if I'm paying too much or too little. Now, can it be a situation where you end up paying too much? Yeah, you know, there might be news that comes out that says, in hindsight, that was too much. But that's it. It's just, you know, you can't, that's the idea of market efficiency, is that we don't know, except for in hindsight, that the price was wrong. So when I buy, I can just kind of relax and go, I'm paying a price that's proper based on everything that is knowable and predictable. And that's what Adam Smith said back in the 1700s. He said the invisible hand sets prices, and that can make an economy grow at a better rate than any other type of a controlled system. And I talk about controlled, you know, you talk about socialism, communism. You know, the idea is that we can take somebody that's really, really smart, or a group of people that are really smart that know more than, you know, that know more than other people, and they set prices, and that they can control an economy that actually grows at a faster pace than anything else. That was the idea. So if we look at that, the problem is that you have a person that may be really smart, but they don't necessarily know everything. There's a lot of stuff they don't know. They don't know everybody's tastes. They don't know news that's coming down the road. They don't know when, you know, some crazy people are going to fly into a building. They don't know when a war is going to start. They don't know when a currency is going to collapse. They don't know when somebody's going to shoot off a nuclear missile or whatever. And hence, they can't really know what's going to happen, and they can't really know whether a security is at a proper price. So it's really the collective wisdom of everybody. As a matter of fact, there's a great book called The Wisdom of Crowds that talks about this and talks about how the collective wisdom of all people is really pretty profound. And then the example I like to give, in case you've never heard me say this, is they go into a fair and they have, you know, guess the dressed weight of the oxen. That's the contest. And they have people that are really skilled farmers, people that don't know anything. They don't know a cow from a moose. And they're guessing what this thing is going to weigh when they dress it, right? You know, when it's all said and done, they bet what they think it's going to weigh. And this guy, the statistician, decides to collect all the bets. And then what he does is he says, okay, just give me all the bets from the contest when it's over and tell me what the weight of the oxen ends up being. And the guy goes, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll do that. And then he takes them all and he adds them up and he divides by the number of guessers. And he finds that they're within like a fraction of the pound, as I recall it was, of the actual weight of the oxen. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. Nobody knew the right weight, but collectively people got it? Whoa. That's like the stock market. Everybody's collectively betting on what the price of a stock is. And what happens here is that these speculators are betting that they've got a better bead on what it should be actually worth. And Buffett's basically saying, you know, the gamification of trading is you know, it's going against that. It's going against this whole idea of market efficiency. Why? Well, because it's probably easier than getting on an airplane and flying to Vegas. It's easier than going to a casino. You know, it's legal. I can do it in my living room. I don't have to go anywhere and I can get that dopamine hit is what he's basically saying. And he says the speed of communication and the wonders of technology facilitate instant worldwide paralysis. What is he talking about? Well, you think about what Adam Smith said. He says ease of information. If we have better access to information, then we can figure out what the price of the security is because we have everybody betting and we have all of their information. Betting, I use that word loosely. We have them all making a determination on what they think the stock is worth, maybe a better way of saying it. And therefore, we have this information and it's brought to bear quickly. Now, ease of transaction. Now, if I can trade on that information easily, now I've got something. That's where market efficiency comes from, right? And what he's saying here is with the speed of communication, I can do this in my living room and I have this ability. This makes it super easy to do this. Then what happens is you'll have speculators that are using the stock market like a casino, as the article basically says, case in point. Remember who is really making the money here, though. It's the house. And that is so true. Now, on the other side of the coin, I said before the break, I said that on the other side of the coin, you'll have people that are betting against the stock market. And you'll have people that are making money that might be the house on the other side of the deal. Now, that might be short sellers that bet on the stock market going down. That might be it. That was the GameStop thing, right? That was all short seller stuff, right? But it may be people at the bank, your friendly person at the bank that doesn't really understand the stock market that well. And, you know, I have people that work with me here, you know, some of my folks that run the offices, that's where they came from. And they will tell you stories about what it was like working on the bank side and just how they didn't know what they didn't know. And, you know, so what happened was that they were, you know, they were saying, hey, you know, you can put your money here. You're nervous about the market. Let's put your money in the CD. Let's put money in this annuity over here or whatever, because it's guaranteed. And then, you know, you're thinking, well, guaranteed sounds really, really good because I got so much uncertainty. Now, when am I going to be more attracted to guaranteed? You know, when I'm scared, right? When I'm nervous, when I think maybe I could lose money, I'm going to go and I'm going to move more toward that. And what historically have we known about markets when they have typically have the highest returns historically? So when things seem the most uncertain, that's really when we typically see the highest returns historically. And that's because what investors require is when there's more risk, they require more return. So typically what happens when people feel bulletproof and feel like everything's great, that's when they're speculating, they're jumping into stocks. And we saw this. I remember, you know, in the late 90s, I would be invited. So I was studying under, you know, these academics and clients of mine would go, well, you got to come talk to my investment club. And I said, what do you want to break up your investment club? You don't want me there. I'm the last dude you want in your investment club because I'll make everybody mad. I'll tell them that what they're doing is wasting their time. And I would go in and they'd be cordial enough, but they wouldn't pay any attention. I was right. I was like, you know, it's like, you don't want to mess with people having fun. But then, you know, they would be investing in different stocks and things like that. And I would say that, you know, it's kind of a waste of time. Markets are efficient, you know. But when you're dealing with, let's say, fear, you know, you're often looking at, hey, let's put our money over here. And there was an article actually in, I say it was Smart Money, it was actually talking about back in 2008. It says, you know, the brokerage firms are putting people, they're putting money, and they were talking about how much money they were putting in fixed income investments. And it was huge. It wasn't a little number. It was huge. And Smart Money actually made the point, to their credit, it makes money for the investment firms. But what about the clients? Which was phenomenal, because they wrote this article before the market went up. They did it before the market actually meteorically, you know, shot up like 68% to the end of the year if you were diversified. It was a huge run up in the stock market. And they made that point. The investment firms are, they're being more conservative. They're adding cash to the portfolio. You look at the mutual funds back then, and I would be looking at people's portfolios and go, you've got this stock mutual fund. Do you realize it has 20% of the money is sitting in cash in a stock mutual fund? And they'd be sitting there going, no, I had no idea. Well, in the prospectus, they said they could do this. They said that, you know, that they could do this, that it was something that was part of the investment policy, they could do it. So they're not lying to you. They're doing what they said they could do. But did you know that they were doing it? And they said, no. You know, when the manager, your investment manager is putting more money in cash or more money in bonds or more money in an area of the market that just ran up recently. Did you know that they're doing that? People don't often recognize that's what's happening. And it's just another form of speculation. So I'll talk a little bit. I'll come back on the other side of the break and talk about how do we get away from this. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, I'm back here. This is the Investor Coaching Show, and I'm Paul Winkler. So I've been talking about this whole hour, you know, this Warren Buffett eulogizing his old friend, Charlie Munger. And Buffett basically saying the stock market is increasingly casino-like. You know, he's seeing emotions come into things way more now, and the level of education just not being there. And I think that that's so true. Not only, you know, if you look at the studies of investors, you know, the public, and there, you know, there's been a group that has been actually, they've been actually going in and asking people questions and just trying to get the pulse of people and find out how much do they really know about what they're doing with their money. And it's been eye-opening how little people know. And, you know, he's pointing out that younger investors are approaching the stock market more like a casino. Why? Because it's more available to be treated that way than ever before. I mean, you used to have to set up a brokerage account. You have a broker that you'd work with. There were transaction costs that were much higher. So it made it really harder to buy and sell and buy and sell. You know, think about that. If you have some kind of a barrier to entry or some kind of a deterrent to trading too much, excess expenses would be that. So I can, and I don't know, I don't know what the data is on. It'd be interesting to see the data to see if, I don't know if it'd be so hard to gather the data to see if investors are getting worse returns now than ever before because of the fact that expenses are lower, oddly enough, and it makes it harder to actually stay disciplined because you don't feel the pain of trading. I mean, I never really thought about it that way, but it could be interesting. But Buffett's basically saying that people are treating it this way, and because it's almost making it into a legal casino, they're buying and selling, doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing, as he points out in this article. And, you know, the point is, how do we get away from this? Well, number one, you know, if you're dealing with an investment advisor, I want to know what they think their job is. So what do you do? How do you approach things? And, you know, have them tell you what their job is and get as specific as possible. How do you select companies for the portfolio? Now, if they start talking about how they do analysis of companies, you got a problem right off the bat. Or how they choose mutual funds. You know, if they're looking at, you know, historical performance of the funds and things like that, you already have a problem because they're looking at track record. And track record, we know that markets do what? They go up and they go down. Markets go up and they go down. If I'm choosing my mutual funds based on what had a good track record, 1, 3, 5, and 10 year track record, I could be choosing funds that are really super high. I could maybe choosing 5, 6 funds that all invest in the same market, part of the market that just happened to do well recently. And an easy example of that would be investors looking at mutual funds in the late 90s and buying several mutual funds that are investing in technology stocks. You might have had 6, 7 mutual funds, but they're all investing in the same area of the market that had that run-up and not own any small cap value stocks, which actually didn't do as well, or international small companies that didn't do as well, but took off and did super well in the 2000s. But you don't even own them because you don't own them because you didn't choose based on asset class, you chose based on track record. So I want to know, are you choosing based on how you're doing it? Asset allocation should be based on asset classes. I want to see that they're holding very, very big companies, very small companies. How did you choose a small company fund? And you ought to be able to understand it. You know, are the companies really, truly small? What's going on? What's the turnover rate in the funds? If I see a lot of turnover, that's telling me that the stock funds are turning over or trading a lot. That shows me that they believe that there are mispricings in the market. That's a warning sign. How often do you change the funds? What's the criteria? What's the rebalancing? How do you rebalance? Well, you know, the right answer to me would be based on deviations from a target. Or better yet, if I'm looking at certain asset classes, I can do rebalancing based on cash flows. You know, and you might have to write this stuff down, you know, go back and listen to the podcast and write some of these things down. But look at the prospectuses. Give me a prospectus of a fund that you're investing in. If you see that the fund manager believes their job is to find underpriced stocks and get out of overvalued markets, or look at the markets and do tactical asset allocation, that could be a sign that there's a real problem there. Now, so there are just a few things. But recognize that most people approach investing as gambling, and they only know that they've been doing that when it's too late. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.